Father, thank you for bringing us here safely this evening. Thank you for your word, that you teach us, that you guide us, and that you change us inwardly by the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that I would be faithful to what you say, that I would teach your truth, not my own. Lord, I ask that you would soften our hearts, that as we hear your word, we would be changed by it, that we would live differently, that, Father, people would see us living differently and give glory to their Father in heaven. We pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me ask you all a question. Some of you know me, some of you don't. Am I normal? There was a very distinct no from there. Thank you, brother. I've not seen you in 3 years, but you're... Any further opinions? No? Okay. Fine. Well, I wonder what normal is. I think that probably depends on who you are. Let me set you a picture for you. Grey tracksuit, white trainers, at least 8 inches of boxer short, probably. You can't walk very fast. You've got to be slow. And, you know, it's all about respect. That would be quite normal for some people, right? Well, I wouldn't be normal by their standards, would I? 2.4 children, nice car, respectable house, you know, a reasonable income, not too much, but enough. Your front lawn is mown. Respectable. Yeah, that would be normal for a lot of people, wouldn't it? I think it's a human condition that we want to fit in. Okay? Doesn't matter who your peers are. I mean, maybe you're a teenager. Just maybe. And maybe, you know, you like wear a lot of like black makeup and leather chains and you listen to whatever you call it. It used to be grunge music when I was a kid. It's probably emo or something now. Whatever, yeah? And you're totally different, like all your friends are. You know? It's not wrong, and it's normal to want to be normal. Alright? It's not a wrong desire to want to be liked. But I challenge you here, are you normal? And should you be normal? And does being liked matter? What if I was really devastated and cut up, distressed about the mess of my heart, the spiritual state it was in? What if I was meek and gentle? What if I always sought what was right, sought to have a pure heart? I was merciful, peaceful. If I was deeply unpopular with a lot of people, but I rejoiced in that. I don't think by the standards of this world I would be normal. Whether that's a grey tracksuited teenage hoodie, or whether that's a, you know, sort of middle class, middle aged homeowner, that's not normal. Not in this world. But brothers and sisters, we are not meant to be normal. We are meant to be different. Am I normal? I hope not. I sincerely hope not. Now that description, that was a blueprint that Jesus gave, that we heard read. Thank you, that was an excellent reading. Okay, for what God's people would be like. And now God's people, they were descended from Abraham. They were captives in Egypt, rescued from Egypt. They wandered in the desert for many years. They came through the Jordan. They were distinguished. They were set apart by the law that God had given them on a mountain called Sinai through their servant Moses. That was what a Jew, when Jesus was giving this sermon on a mountain, a Jew would have understood that to be God's people. Well, so far Matthew has presented us a Jesus who is descended from Abraham, who came out of Egypt, who's been through the Jordan, who was tempted in the wilderness. And now here, Jesus is defining for us what it is to be God's people. And you're not normal. If you're a believer here tonight, if you're a Christian, you are not meant to be normal. You won't fit in. If I gave you, I love tea. Who loves tea? I love tea. It's the most glorious drink in the world. If I gave you a lovely cup of tea, white with 2 teaspoons of salt, you'd spot that, right? Tea lovers, you would know. Yeah, that would stand there, wouldn't it? Just perchance, I don't know why I would be, but if I were developing photographs in the dark room, and one of you walked in to see me and said, "Hello, Andy," and opened the door and turned the lights on,
Oh, I'd notice you. Now for the teenagers here, who think photography has always been digital, let me set you another picture. All right, I'll come into your room. Okay, I'll come to wake you up really, really early on a Saturday, like 1:30 in the afternoon. And I throw back the curtains, and the summer sun streams in through the window. Bam! You notice. Okay? You can't stay asleep. You'd probably be quite cross. Now, so we say, don't we, you know, rubbing salt in a wound. Who does that? I've never met anyone that would rub salt in a wound. But some of you may have got salt in a cut or graze, and it stings. Okay, it bites. You notice these things. And Jesus is saying, a people who are different, like God's people, you will not miss them. You will be different and you will be noticed. Quickly, a word before we move on about what it means to be different. Jesus isn't talking about things we do, boxes we tick. Salt can't act salty. Can't, you know, do a series of things that make it salty. It either is salty or it isn't. And if it is salty, well, if it is salt, it's useful. If it isn't, it's dust. It will be thrown out. It will be trampled. Light. You can't... It doesn't act light. It is or it isn't. These are not things we do. This is a question of the heart. If you stick a light, lamp, flame, not electric, kids, under a bowl, it will go out. It's either light or it's darkness. You stick salt in a wound, you know it's there. A light in a dark room is unmissable. A believer in this world is just like salt and just like light. The people of God are fundamentally different. I'm going to apply this to the young people now. Adults, I think you can probably recognise this in yourself, but you'll probably say it differently. Who's ever heard themselves say, "Oh, but all my mates are doing it. Why can't I, Mum? Oh, all my friends have got one. It's not that much money." Guys, that should never cross your lips. What Jesus says blows that out of the water. So what if you're different? You're supposed to be different. You're not supposed to be like all your friends. And so saying, "But all my mates are doing it, but all my mates have one," is rubbish. It's nonsense. And I think the adults here know that they do the same thing in a different way. Yeah, fancy language. Believers are different. You have a responsibility to the world to be different. Let me just read verses 13 to 16 again. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You have a responsibility to the world to be different. You have a responsibility to your colleagues at work, to your classmates at school, to be abnormal. Okay? You're not the salt of heaven. You're not the salt of Jesus. You're not the salt of the kingdom. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A believer who is like salt will arrest decay in the meat of the world. It's the illustration that's being shown here. Salt used to arrest decay. A salty 13-year-old girl, well, she will befriend the girl in her class that doesn't have any friends. She won't join in when the other kids, the other girls are gossiping. She won't go unnoticed. People will see. She has a responsibility to the world. She has a responsibility to her classmates, her friends, to be different, to stand out. A salty
16-year-old boy won't think it's really cool to go out and get plastered like all his friends do. He won't swap inappropriate pictures of young women on his phone with his friends. He won't put down the geeky kid to make himself feel big and to get a laugh. And he also will not go unnoticed. He will stand out. He may not be popular, but he has a responsibility to the world. He has a responsibility to his classmates to be different, to not go unnoticed, to be abnormal. Now, a light teenager, or a light adult for that matter, has been given the good news about Jesus that can bring light to other people. You will be noticed if you're different, and you will have opportunities to share the light that is in you. Now, I take it that as a believer as salt has a responsibility to stand against evil, against corruption, against sin, bullying, fiddling your expenses at work. Sorry, can't believe I didn't think of that as an illustration before, actually. Now I say that. Dude, a Christian politician would stand out, should be standing out right now. That would look different, wouldn't it? I take it that as a believer is salt, he has a responsibility, she has a responsibility to stand against sin. And as light, the believer has a responsibility to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ, who died in our place for our sins, that we can know God. You have a responsibility to the world to stand out. You have no business telling people about Jesus if you're not standing against the way of the world, if you're not abnormal, if you're not different. Nor will people take what you do seriously. I mean, you know, what good is it being different if you don't tell people about Jesus? It's pointless. You are salt and you are light. And brothers and sisters, your colleagues, your classmates, without the salt and light that you bring from Jesus, they are dust, they are darkness, and they are dying. They're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. And you know what? That 13-year-old girl, that 16-year-old boy, some people will hate them for being like that. Okay? Let me just point you back to verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And you know what? The prophets in the Old Testament, they were treated the same way. They were different. They weren't normal. They stood out. But some of them will see your abnormality, will see that you are different, and they will praise your Father who is in heaven. Look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, your saltiness, and praise your Father who is in heaven. We have a responsibility to the world to be different. Now, if that's all you got from tonight, that'd be fine. I could go home. We're on to a winner. But there are one or two things I think that... there are a few questions outstanding from that. And there's an important reminder. If we are different, and I hope we are, I hope I'm not normal, then it's only because of Jesus. Only because of Jesus. A Christian believer is abnormal because Christ was abnormal. Okay? Jesus was not normal. That's fine. Verse 7, on my account. Verse 16, see your good works and give glory to your Father. I'm just going to read to you, in fact, you can turn if you want, I don't know what page it is in your Bibles. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. Listen to what Jesus has to say. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world,
but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If we're salt and light, it's because Jesus was the salt and the light. Okay? We were just dust. We were just darkness until we met Jesus. And perhaps you're thinking, and I think this is the really, you know, this is a fair question. You're thinking, Andy, you know, this is all very well, but this person you're talking about, this person who is distressed over their wrong living, who is peaceful, meek, merciful, who seeks purity, yeah, that's just not like me. I don't look like that. You know, that's not, well, me too. You know, actually, if you were to look at the way I live day by day, that wouldn't be an accurate description of Andy Cook. But you know what? I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be when it clicked for me at 14 that I had to follow Jesus, not just say I did. Ever since then, I've been changing bit by bit. And even if I'm not like this, Jesus is. And that's the point. Okay? If you want to see someone who is all of these things, in verses 3 to 10, 3 to 12, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Why do you think he's identified as being a person of God? Goes through the Jordan, spends time in the desert, he's descended from Abraham. Okay? He perfectly is God's people. This abnormality in us is the growing work of Christ in us. Maybe I should leave you with the question, do you have an abnormal growth? Hope that stays in your head. Do you have an abnormal growth? Because you should do, brothers and sisters. You should have an abnormal growth in you. I was thinking about this, and Andy B put me onto the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Andy. I'm not going to read the bit you sent me, actually. I'm going to read something from Ephesians chapter 2. You don't have to turn to this, but listen up. Listen carefully. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian church. He says, and you were dead in the trespass and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But, and kids, this is one of the biggest buts in the Bible, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We have been saved and raised up with him, and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You can't make yourself salty. You can't tick boxes. No, you are salty or you aren't. And if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus and trusted him, the Lord is making you salty. He is making you light. And it is his light and his salt. Am I normal? I really hope not.
I'm trying not to be. I have a responsibility to the people I live with, to my friends, to not be normal, to be noticed. I want my friends to see Jesus. Shadrach and Benny, who we met in the first reading, okay, they weren't normal. They stood out. They wouldn't bow down to the idol. They knew it made no sense to trust in a God that couldn't save, and so they put their trust in the one true God. Not only did they stand out, but they were thrown into a furnace. And the wonderful message of the Bible is not the God who said, oh yeah, that's good, well done, I'll see you when you get to heaven. No, it's the God who came into the furnace to save them. He didn't save from a distance. He came to us to save us in Jesus. I think that's a fair question. You know, Andy, this is a good outline for a believer, but I'm not like that. Well, you know what? Jesus was, and that's what he's making us. Jesus is, and that's what he's making us. It's not something we can do on our own, but it's something that our friends and our colleagues and our classmates need us to be. And I hope this drives us to trust the Lord Jesus. Why don't we pray? Father, I'm very conscious that this is something I can never expect to achieve on my own. And Lord, I'm convicted that this is not how my life looks. And so, Lord, all of us, we would ask you to work in us by the power of your Spirit, to change us, to turn us into the true people of God that you are planning for us to be and are turning us into. And the old way, Father, the way of the flesh, help us to throw off those shackles, Father, that bind us. Lord, help us to be keenly aware when we go to work and school in the week of the responsibility we have to the unbelieving friends and family that we know, to be different, to be abnormal. And we pray this in the glorious and gracious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.